Now remember, the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is you use a pencil. If you're not making notes, then you're not actually studying the Bible. You're just reading it. You have to write or record something in order to study. So an observation, you just simply look at the text and you go, what does it say? And you write down, it says this, it says this, it says this, and it says this. That's the first step.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that is the perfect complement to this audio series called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit, which includes a DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your own study time or your time with your small group. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
The secret of Bible study is simply learning to ask the right kind of questions. The more you bombard a particular text with questions, the more you're going to get out of it. Now, the Bible is a supernatural book, and you can study a passage over and over and over, and you'll never hit bottom. There are passages in the Bible I have studied for 30, 40 years. The Sermon on the Mount, Psalm 23, the Beatitudes, Romans 8, 28, and on and others, other passages. And every time I go back to them, I go, wow, didn't see that. Haven't seen that before. You cannot hit bottom. You can never mine the gold out of any particular text because the Bible is a supernatural book. But if you learn the principles of observation, you will see things in Scripture you've never seen before. Now, as I said, there are different kinds of questions, and each method of Bible study is simply a different set of questions. Many years ago, I wrote a book called Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods. Actually, I wrote this book in college. It's almost 35 years old. It's been revised multiple times. It's in about 20 languages, still in print. It's used in colleges and seminaries as a textbook. And I teach 12 different Bible studies, the devotional method, which you're learning in the small groups. That's just one method. The chapter summary method of Bible study, character quality, how to study a theme, how to study a biographical method, the topical method, how to study a word, how to do a book background study, how to do a Bible survey, book survey, chapter analysis, book synthesis, verse-by-verse analysis. The only difference between these 12 methods is the type of questions that you ask. And as I said, the more questions you ask, the more you're going to get out of a particular passage. Now, while they all have different kinds of questions, there are four categories you use in every Bible study. And I'm going to teach you today how to do this. Now, there are four words. And if you pull out your outline, you'll notice that there are four words: observation, interpretation, correlation, and application. These four things you will do when you're going to sit down to look at a passage of Scripture and study it for yourself. Let me explain what these mean, then we'll go back and we'll look at it in depth. The first step in any Bible study is observation. And the question you ask is, what does it say? What does it say? You simply look at the Bible verse or the story or the text or the passage, and you simply observe it. And you write down what you observe. Okay? It's whatever you see. Now, you're not trying to interpret it. You're not trying to figure out the meaning of it. You're just, what does it say? And you write it down. Now, remember, the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is you use a pencil or a pen, or you type it on your computer. If you're not making notes, then you're not actually studying the Bible. You're just reading it. You have to write or record something in order to study. So an observation, you just simply look at the text and you go, what does it say? And you write down, it says this, it says this, it says this, and it says this. That's the first step. Then the second step of Bible study is interpretation. And that's where you ask the question, what does it mean? First, what does it say? Now you ask, what does it mean? Well, people say, well, doesn't the Bible mean what it says? No, the Bible means what it means.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. A personal 40 Days in the Word journal. And Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so don't wait. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now remember, the difference between Bible reading and Bible study is you use a pencil or a pen, or you type it on your computer. If you're not making notes, then you're not actually studying the Bible. You're just reading it. You have to write or record something in order to study. So an observation, you just simply look at the text and you go, what does it say? And you write down, it says this, it says this, it says this, and it says this. That's the first step. Then the second step of Bible study is interpretation. And that's where you ask the question, what does it mean? First, what does it say? Now you ask, what does it mean? Well, people say, well, doesn't the Bible mean what it says? No, the Bible means what it means. Because as in every piece of communication, we often use metaphors, we use analogies, we use phrases that literally don't mean what they mean. For instance, if I wrote you a letter and I said, you've been pulling my leg. Now, 1,000 years from today, somebody finds that letter in another language, in another place and time, and it says, Rick said that he or she was pulling his leg. They might, if they take that literally, they might think, you're literally grabbing on my foot and jerking my leg. But that's not what you're pulling my leg means. It means you're kidding me. You're teasing me. You're funning me. You're joking with me. You know, in Spanish, they say, toma me pelo, you're pulling my hair. It's the same thing. Okay? Some of you, we couldn't pull your hair because you don't have any. So we can't joke around with you about it. In fact, you're offended by what I just said. Now, the point is, the Bible means what it means. And how you know what it means is by looking at the context around it. For instance, if I give you the word pen, P-I-N, what does that word mean to you? Well, you say, well, it means, and you might think, a rolling pin, a bowling pin the donkey. Did you know that the word pen has over 60 different meanings? P-I-N. And so you just can't say a word, well, it means this. No, it doesn't mean that. It means what it means in the context. If I'm talking about wrestling, it means I pinned you to the floor. So it has, you have to look at the verses around it. So I do, what does it say? What does it mean? Then I ask the third step in Bible study, which is correlation. And correlation is, what other verses explain it? And I ask myself, is there anything else in the Bible that will help me understand what I'm reading right now? That's called correlation. You correlate verses. You compare and you correlate. The best commentary on the Bible is the commentary itself. You use the Bible to explain the Bible. And one of the principles of interpretation is you interpret an unclear passage in light of a clear one. In other words, if you read something in the Bible and it doesn't make sense and you don't know what it means, you look for something else in the Bible that does make sense to explain it. You always use what's clear to explain what's unclear. Now, if you don't get that, you're going to go off and form some cult. You're going to get some weird idea that you just think, well, I think it means this when it doesn't mean that at all. There are things that the Bible means, there are things that it definitely doesn't mean. And the way you know that is by looking at what the whole Bible says. I'm going to teach you how to do that today. And then the fourth step in Bible study is application. And that is, what am I going to do about it? What does it say? What does it mean? What other verses explain it? And what will I do about it? No matter what you're going to study, you're going to ask these four questions. What does it say? And you write it down. What does it mean? That's interpretation. What other verses explain it? And what will I do about it? Now, today, what I'm going to do is show you how to do this. And what I did is I just picked a random text out of the Bible. It wasn't any particular text, not a particularly well-known passage. I just picked a passage out of the Bible, and we're going to take it, and I'm going to walk you through this, and we're not only going to study it ourselves, but I'm going to show you how to study it for yourself. Now, the passage I chose is in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Now, let me give you a little background. Paul is writing this letter from Rome. Paul is the apostle who wrote much of the New Testament. He's in prison in Rome for his missionary work. He's due to appear before Caesar. He's hoping one day to be released and go back to all the churches that he started. But he's not able to do this, so he's writing letters to the churches he started. One of the letters that he wrote to the church that he started in a city called Philippi, which is a city in Greece. So Paul's in Italy, and he's writing to a church in Greece. And because he's writing these people in Philippi, it's called the letter to the Philippians. If he had written it to us, it would be First and Second Californians. So the book of Galatians means the people who lived in the city or the area of Galatia. And the book that called Corinthians is written to the people who lived in the Greek city of Corinth. These are real cities, like Rome. The book of Romans is written to the people who lived in Rome. And so he's writing to the Philippians. And they had taken up a love offering for him and sent it to him, and now he's writing them back. And the book of Philippians is actually a thank you note. It's a thank you note in which he's writing to the people saying, thank you guys for sending me this offering. And in the middle of this book, Philippians chapter 2, here's what he says. Verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. In other words, I'm in Rome. I want to send Timothy, who's with me in Rome, to you in Philippi, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you, because he had heard news from them. I have nobody else like him, like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everybody else, he just looks after his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself. He's proved himself because as a son with a father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I can see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. He's saying, I hope I get back to see you soon, too. But, he says, I think it is also necessary, it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. We'll find out who this guy is in a minute. I'm going to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger because you sent him to take care of my needs. In other words, they sent this guy Epaphroditus with the offering to Rome and to tell Paul how they were doing. So he said, he's your messenger you sent to me, but I'm going to send him back to you. For he longs for all of you. He's homesick. And he's distressed because you heard that he was ill. And indeed, he was ill. He was ill. In fact, he almost died. He was ill and he almost died, but God had mercy on him And not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, I'm not just in prison, I would have lost a good friend. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, Epaphroditus, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Circle that phrase, honor men like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. In other words, you couldn't be here, so you sent him, and he risked his life to get from Greece to Rome. And what you need to welcome him with great joy and honor men like him. Now, you read that passage, and as I read it, you got to go, well, that doesn't seem to be a very deep passage. It's just kind of a thank you note. It's like a personal note here. In fact, you might read this as you're reading it on a day, and you go, why did God put that in the Bible? Paul's just talking about a couple friends, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and he goes, you guys send them to me, I'm going to send them back to you, and you need to honor them when they get there. It doesn't sound like a very meaty passage of Scripture. It doesn't sound like there's some deep doctrinal truth. It doesn't sound like there's some big encouragement for me. And you might even think, this is just a passage, you read quickly and skip over and get to the really good stuff in the Bible. And if you did that, you'd be dead wrong. You'd be dead wrong. Because you didn't do the observation and the interpretation to get the true meat out of it. Now let me show you a couple verses. We've talked about these in the last few weeks. Look up here on the screen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture, not part of it, all of it. That means even the stuff that just sounds like personal greetings. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful, it's all useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, and it teaches us how to do what's right. So even this passage where Paul's just saying, hey, I've got these friends, these co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. By the way, you know what Epaphroditus means? It's the Greek word that means from Aphrodite. That's what it means. It means from Aphrodite. So Epaphroditus was not obviously born in a Christian family. He was born in a Gentile or a Greek family who named him after the god Aphrodite. Epaphroditus means from Aphrodite. Okay, and he goes, I'm going to send these guys to you. But the Bible says it's all inspired. So even this part has something to teach us. And you're going to see it in just a minute. Let me show you another verse. Romans 15:4 on the screen here says, for everything, not some things, everything in the Bible was written to teach us. Even this part. So that through the endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. This story, this passage I just read you, the Bible leaves it in. God puts it in the Bible for your encouragement and for your hope. You say, well, I didn't get any encouragement and hope out of it. It's because you haven't studied it yet. You just read it. So what we're going to do is actually look at this very powerful passage, particularly for men. I'm going to talk to men today. Ladies, you can listen in, but it's primarily a passage for men, and I'm going to teach you how to study the Bible. All right, I want you to take your Bible and you open it to Philippians chapter 2 and take your message notes, and let's go through these four steps. What does it say? What does it mean? What is else in the Bible says something about it? And what am I going to do about it? First, we start with observation. What does it say? Now, what I would do is I would simply look at this. I would read it through several times, and I would just write down what I see. It's not anything fancy. It's just whatever I see. And I see three things in this passage. You might write them down. First, I observe that Paul intends to send two men to Philippi. Okay? Paul intended to send two men to Philippi. And that's just an observation. There's nothing fancy about it, nothing spiritual. It's just, that's what I see. And in verse 19, he says, I hope to send you Timothy. There's one of the guys. And in verse 25, he says, I think it's necessary to send Epaphroditus back to you. He actually came from that church. I'm going to send him back home. So I'm going to send two guys to you, Timothy and Epaphroditus. The second thing I observe is that Paul endorsed these guys as role models. In fact, they're role models who deserve honor. Paul endorsed Timothy and Epaphroditus as role models who deserve honor. In verse 20, Paul says about Timothy, he says, I have no one else like him. Now, you might just read that and just jump all over it. But friends, that is the greatest endorsement you could ever receive as a Christian. Paul is the greatest Christian who's ever lived next to Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. And Paul says, I've got nobody in the world like Timothy. If Paul said that about you, that means you're at the top of the heap. You're on the A-list. You're the very best Christian he knows. If Paul said about you, I've got nobody else like Bob or Janet or Mary. I've got nobody else like Kristen. That would be the greatest possible compliment you could ever receive for your faith. So this is not a small issue here. Now I got to pay attention. He says, I got nobody like Timothy. And then about Epaphroditus, he says, verse 29, welcome him and honor men like him. Honor men like him. So he's saying, whatever these guys are doing, they're unusual, they're unique, and they are worthy of honor. You need to follow them, and you need to honor them. Now notice both of them, he says, like him. See, circle that phrase twice. Anytime you see a phrase used twice in Scripture, it means God's telling you something. I have nobody else like him, Timothy. Honor men like him, Epaphroditus. Now that naturally makes me ask the third observation question, and that is, so what are these guys like? I mean, why are they so special? What are these guys actually doing in their lives that make them so special?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. Pastor Rick Warren says that the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to change our lives, and that the road to change begins with studying God's Word. Rick says that it's not enough just to love the Word and learn the Word. He says we must live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes a 6-video session DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time, a personal 40 Days in the Word journal, and Bible verse memorization cards. With the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks so much for your financial support of Daily Hope. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so don't wait. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that there are people listening to Daily Hope broadcasts and following our message all over the world? Here's an example of an email from a listener that just came in from Brazil. He says, Hi, Rick. My name is Marcelo, and I'm from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Every day I listen to Daily Hope on my way to work, and God has used your life to speak His truth into my life. Today I'll be speaking to a group of retail leaders from all over Brazil about living a life of integrity. Hope you won't mind, but I've translated a lot from your message, Living a Life of Integrity, to share with this group. That message touched me so much that I felt the need to share it with others. Well, that's so great, Marcelo. I'm so proud of you. You're being a light for Jesus Christ in His workplace. You're sharing a message of hope with business people. That is just fantastic. Now, I want to say everybody can do the same thing. It doesn't matter where you work. You can share the message of Daily Hope or any of these Daily Hope messages with your coworkers and your friends, and I want to encourage you to do that. And when you do, let me know about it. Be sure to write me and tell me your story, just like Marcelo did. Email me today, rick@pastorrick.com. Thanks for listening to Daily Hope today.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.